Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to a rather interesting Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast. Now, I say interesting because I'll be honest with you. We sort of know each other pretty well now. I'll be honest with you. Come closer. There is no actual script for today's podcast because I'm recording this days in advance. And I've been given a piece of paper with just all the shows that the podcast will, of course, take bits from. So I'm just doing generic links. I'm being honest. Otherwise, you'd see straight through it. So we begin with, what shall I start with? Oh, yeah, this funny thing happened on The Breakfast Show with Georgie Bingham and Tony Cascarino, which some people think might not be funny at all. You decide.
I don't like England in a three, and I think you could argue that some of the international centre-halves want to get on the ball and play too much. And playing in a three, I think long-term, England will qualify whether they played in a four or a three. Three is really tough. I think you can play a three if you've got really loads of pace in positions. But if you're going with centre-halves, that if they get turned, because one thing that three does, if especially if you play it in the attack-minded way, is that your full-backs have to be wing-backs and push on and leave space in wide areas. Now, you've got to say, can our centre-halves defend as they should do? I don't think Harry Maguire would fit into a three. I think he needs to be in a two and keep quite high. Pace is pivotal to have a three. And I just don't see England having the personnel to do that three either. You've got to have pace in that three. If you had a Des Walker and you had a, you know, we're looking at the boy Gomez, I can see it, but you've got to have two or three of them that are blisteringly quick that can get to them channels first because you'll get exposed.
On now to the warm-up with Max Thingamajiggy and Barry Glendening, or as I like to call it, the Barry Glendening Show with whoever. Anyway, this thing happened on their show. Oh, was this funny? Again, you decide.
Fancy a game, Baz?
Not really, but I suppose I'm contractually obliged to play.
That's what the fans have come to see. Let's play. Phil G.
Eddie McGoldrick.
Darren Barnard.
Chris Bart Williams.
Gary O'Reilly.
Jeremy Goss.
John Pemberton.
John Chidozie.
Andy Thorne.
Andy Linegan.
Richard Shaw.
Eric Young.
Ian Butterworth.
Ian Crook.
Lars Bohinen.
Jussi Patalainen. Oh, no.
Oh, Barry.
Oh, no.
Oh, Barry.
Oh, what
you can't Jaskalainen and a Patalainen at this level and get away with it. Ian Colmhouse.
Got mixed up with my mixus.
You did. You mixed up your mixus, and you should be ashamed. You said, sound the Paddy the Villa fan klaxon.
Oh dear!
How can you mix up your mixus? Seriously,
that was a real mixu. I mean,
it is an international break, I guess, isn't it? Oh well, there we are. Another dear victory me. For me.
Back now to the Sunday Sports Breakfast Show with Georgie Bingham and Tony Cascarino. Now I'm doing this for two reasons. One, there must have been at least two things that are worth going back for on this show. And two, I'm making the producer work for his money to find something that's worth putting on this podcast. So have a listen again to Georgie and Tony.
It's about James Maddison and his night out. He went out and he had a night out. Obviously, he'd been sent home by the England medical staff, not by James pulling out, by the England medical staff who said he wasn't in the right condition. Can I just let everyone know here that Grosvenor casinos have a million tellies and you can actually sit down and watch a game playing poker. I do get frustrated of how everyone jumps on the bandwagon. I've spoke to many ex-pros about this of, you know, they might be in a restaurant with their wife and they order a glass of wine and someone takes a photo and now they're drinking and, you know, there is a massive line. Most players don't go off the rails. 99% of them are going out, might have a social occasion. And in the paper they're talking about he's made a miraculous recovery from his sick bed. No, he wasn't fit to play football. He might have been okay and getting around and feeling, you know, in himself being able to lead a normal life, but not to play football.
Yeah.
So they've sent him home. It isn't him pulling out. No. And I just find it really frustrating where footballers' lives are being called into question. He's 22. His career's hanging in the balance for England because he went to a casino. I find it really frustrating when players get questioned so much. He goes home. He goes back to Leicester. He was spotted in a Leicester casino. So he's close to his home. He hasn't gone out on this binge weekend and spent his time at night clubs and then into a casino. This lad's gone back home. We've gone way too far on what people do in their private life. He didn't play for England. He was sent home by the England staff. He went back home. He went to his local casino and he wasn't playing big, vast fortunes. Why? Because I know the colour of the chips. Okay, so I know they're not big chips.
On now to the Sunday exclusive with Mark Shouty Saggers.
Don't say that.
Sorry, Saggers, he's sat behind me. This is some stuff that happened on his show. Oh, my goodness, I'm glad this is on the podcast.
You're way too old to have played against Glenn Murray.
Mm.
Danny, I don't want to say you were too,
Do you know what? I don't know if I did. I'm 42 now. Glenn's 36, 37. I'm sorry, Glenn, if you're doing you a disservice. Adam,
he's
a
36.
Year on. 36. I mean, I finished a long time ago. He might have been at Palace. Maybe.
I don't know.
But I can't remember. I'm sure he'll tell us if he's scoring against me.
Glenn,
every chance.
Glenn, welcome to Sunday Exclusive. Good to have you here on TalkSport. Hello, Glenn.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, we're very well indeed. You've got a real passion for American football, first of all, yeah?
Yeah, kind of. I spent a few years out there when I was a younger man. That's where I first started playing and picked up a bit of NFL out there.
What about the brutality, though, when you're part of the defensive team?
Yeah, I'm pretty comfy up there in my seat rather than down there on the field.
I've never watched it live. I've only watched it on TV.
Right.
But is there much difference, you know, when you're there, Glenn? It looks like sounds like something's happened
there.
Yeah,
there is. I mean, some of these guys are absolutely huge and I don't think you appreciate the size of them until you're down here and close to them.
I spent time in the States and we used to sort of... Obviously, Sunday night football is the big thing over there, whether it's college or NFL. And you'd be in the treatment room on a Monday morning in the surgeries, and you'd be seeing guys get wheeled in time after time after time. You're talking 18 stone lads, Ray, that are fit, ripped, with helmets on, pads on, running into your knees. It's like you've got no chance.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is that there's no giving the turf either, is there?
No.
I mean, it's pretty solid.
Mm.
Well, it's a bit of give and take in the Premier League, but things going well at Brighton.
Yeah, really well. Obviously, new manager this season. And
what's it like working? I mean, somebody like yourself, you know, you've got all the experience in the world now. You've proved yourself at this highest level as a brilliant goal scorer. What was it like when a new man like Graham came in?
Do you know what? It's been really refreshing. I'm still learning, even at my age now, I'm still learning bits about the game. And I think that keeps you interested and mentally sort of switched on. And I think it's really good to see how the group have taken to the gaffer, and I think it's plain for all to see how well we're doing under him.
Well, a lad I'm very interested in, obviously, plays for the Republic of Ireland. Young Connolly made his debut last week, scored a couple of goals. What have you made of him?
Yeah, do you know what, Aaron, he's been on the cusp for quite a while now. He took to the under-23 league like a duck to water. He's been fantastic in that. He's scored goals after goals. And now he's got his opportunity in the first team. And, I mean, as everyone saw last weekend, he took it and he got some fantastic finishes, especially his first goal. I felt he got his first finish away, and then his instinct to turn around and just took it home. I mean, they're things that you just can't teach, to be honest.
And then you, as a senior player there, senior striker, do you take him under your wing? Do you give him a bit of mentoring just to, you know, show him positions and where you should be?
By under the wing, do you mean try and kick him in training?
Yeah, well, we can't do that anymore, can you? Can you still kick in training?
No. Yeah, I do try and take him under my wing because he's a good guy. I like him. I like him off the field, and I also like his attitude on the field. And he's, like I say, he's got that thing that he just can't teach, and he's just got that narrow eye for goal. That's all he wants to do is score goals, and it's nice to see.
And there you go, Mark Saggers with stuff. The final word featured Russ Williams, and here's your proof.
Very good evening, Chief. Great to have you with us. Of course, it is Talk Sport, the final word. Chris Ibalumo, Martin Allen, and Russ Williams here until 8 o'clock tonight. Simon and Danny back next week. They're on a little international break themselves. Should we hear from the England manager? Just been speaking in Sofia ahead of the Bulgaria game. You can hear it here on Talk Sport. And here is Gareth Southgate talking to our very own Nigel Adley.
Gareth, first of all, in the last couple of days after what happened on Friday night, so what are your assessments of the performance now?
Well, no different to when I spoke after the game, really. We've obviously watched the game back and talked through everything with the players, but it was a night where we just didn't perform, and sometimes you get those nights. I couldn't say that I foresaw that from the training in the lead-up. So we have to put it behind us very quickly and move forward to the game here tomorrow night.
People have talked about reality checks and looking to move on. Have you seen it on the training ground the last couple of days?
Well, in terms of reality checks, I think I've always known exactly where we stand, where we're strong, where we need to improve. I don't think a defeat harms a team if the reaction is the right one, because I think in life you need those setbacks. It makes the good nights more enjoyable, but also it sharpens your focus, and I think we've got to make sure that we use it to our advantage for tomorrow. So that's how we've viewed the last couple of days.
And you were very honest after the game as well, and you said you took your share of the responsibility. Do you see yourself as a work in progress as well?
Well, I don't know a coach in the world who wouldn't think they're learning all the time. You're either learning about the game, or you're learning about your players, or assessing the team. So it's a constant process, that, for any coach who's worth their salt, I think. Of course, as the manager, you have to take responsibility. I picked the team, in the end we didn't get the performance, so we always look at ourselves first.
There you go. Gareth Southgate and Nigel Adley under a little bit of pressure for the first time in a while as the England manager, England needing a result in Bulgaria tomorrow night. Martin, what in your view needs to change for Gareth Southgate and England to have a successful Euros next summer?
Not a lot. I think they're on good progress. I think there's bound to be setbacks. You'd expect setbacks along the way. I don't think they quite played with the same energy and enthusiasm in the team that we've seen in more recent games. They're in a transitional period of bringing through young players, which all of us have moaned about all the time. You know, give the youngsters a chance. Give the youngsters a chance. Now we've got it. There's going to be ups and downs. Take them in your stride. I think it's great preparation for the Euros. Maybe Chilwell coming in, Loftus-Cheek coming in, Hudson-Odoi to come in. I think we've got some really good players still. And, of course, Tammy Abraham is top goal scorer in the Premier League.
Well, let me see.
What do you think, Chris?
If England go and win every game in this group, what do they learn from that? Because they've done it before and then went and fell short.
Time and time again.
So
yes.
What I'm trying to say is that from these defeats, you learn, you're watching your weaknesses, you see them. Now, he was asked there about, has he seen a reaction from the players on the he knows what the players are about. They know what the standard that they've got to reach. Yeah, the energy wasn't there, but they will learn from this. And that's what it's about. It's about having the experience in these moments to win games that you don't deserve, to go to a tournament and go over the line. It's because it's all about just getting that win, going into the next round and not being knocked out. And I just think the youth, the age of this squad, the young players coming through potentially can go all the way. But it's down to Gareth doing his job as a manager and looking to see exactly what best players, where they should be, partnerships along the way, and moving forward in that way.
Now, Martin, you have managed and managed and managed.
Yep.
What is it like being under pressure in October as a manager?
What are you talking about? You told me not to talk about that sort of stuff. What's it like being under pressure? Not journalists and people constantly saying, are you okay? Yeah. What's happened with the team? Are they going to sack you? Wherever you go, this happens all the time. What's it like? You know, don't sleep very well. You don't sleep. You're trying to work out and think of things that you can say and do with your staff and your players to try and get a more positive, better performance. You can go on long journeys from home to the training ground, say at 7 o'clock in the morning, maybe just over an hour to get there. And then when you pull into the car park, you might think to yourself, did I just make that journey?
Yeah.
Because all you think about is what you're actually going to be doing.
Yeah.
And that can be...
passed you by.
Yes. And it can be a 24/7 non-stop. I went to the cinema once with my wife, and we hadn't been winning, and went to the cinema, and on the way home, she said, did you like the film? I said, yeah. And I thought to myself, what film? All I could remember was a big box of popcorn.
How much it occupies your mind.
I couldn't even remember what I watched.
No.
And I was thinking, what team are we going to play? What training we need to do? Mm. Do I need to be hard on them? Do I need to be soft on them? Do I need to do more defensive work, more attacking work? And after a while, oh my God, it gets like a fog around your head. And when they actually sack you, it's horrible when they do sack you, but the next couple of days you actually try and sleep properly, wake up at a normal time, and walk the dog with the dog's tail wagging and your own tail starting to wag again.
I'm Alan Brazil, and this is TalkSport Daily.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Now, of course, regular listeners to TalkSport will know that I do the Trans Europe Express on a Sunday night between 9 p.m. and midnight. But I was away, or I am away, or I was away. Anyway, I wasn't here. Luke Moore was in the hot seat. It's not really hot. I don't know why people call it that. And this is him talking Trans Europe Express stuff.
Let's finish Wales 1, Croatia 1. So a result that doesn't do a lot for Wales, this chance. They remain 6 points behind Croatia, or they do have a game in hand on them. They also are 4 points behind Hungary. They have a game in hand on them and face them in the final match of the group stage. But Slovenia have 10 points. Slovakia, sorry, have 10 points. And if Slovakia win their game, both their final matches, one of which is against Croatia, then they will knock Wales out. But yeah, to your point about what's happened to Wales in this qualifying group? Well, I think Ryan Giggs came into it not knowing his best 11. He hadn't kind of formalised. He'd had a good 18 months. He'd come into it, but he still didn't know. He was still trialling things up front. We've had times where Dan James, Gareth Bale have played at number nine. Harry Wilson's even played at number nine as he's looked to fit in all these very small, quick centre forward, kind of winger forwards, rather than having a traditional number nine. The last two matches against Slovakia, he's gone with big Keith Moore, which was a kind of a really left field approach from that we weren't expecting, to be quite honest with you. But yeah, and he's found a little bit of form in these last two matches, despite them being draws. So there is hope, but I think a lot of questions have come on Ryan Giggs and exactly what he did in that first kind of 18 months of his tenure, which led him into this campaign, to not be ready for it. But the only other caveat I will give to that is that he hasn't had Aaron Ramsey for a single minute of qualifying, and that's been absolutely huge for Wales.
Lawrence, very, very quickly, do you expect Giggs to stay in the job?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think he'll be going anywhere at the end of the campaign, or certainly the FAW, I don't imagine, will be looking to replace him. When he came in, it was a four-year contract, and a lot of people said, you know, very much said from the FAW side of things and from the gig side of things, you know, this is a four-year contract, this is a four-year deal, I'm looking at the World Cup in 2022. But what he did was then he, rather than going with evolution from that side, from Chris Coleman, which was so experienced, he really ripped it apart, threw in the youngsters, and went for a revolution instead. And really, he's had to pay the price for that in terms of the team learning on the job as they go, with a young manager learning on the job as well.
This week, we are going to be talking about this 1970 World Cup winning side, Brazil. And Tim, you're the best man placed to talk about this, so why don't you do just that?
Yeah, well, remember, 66 went badly, badly wrong for them. They were eliminated in the group phase. And one of the reasons that they ascribed their failure in 66 was the physical preparation guy had a judo background and not a football background.
Interesting.
And you think what physical preparation was in English football at this time? No, it's a couple of laps around the track and then going and play golf, you know.
Yeah.
But Brazil are really, really, it's like an affair of state. They're really thinking about it. So a lot of the training techniques, they're prepared to play at altitude, even though they only played one game at altitude, which was the final. A lot of the training techniques, they borrowed from NASA, the American Space Agency, so that they had a tactical lead, they had a lead in physical preparation.
How did they even do that? How did that link even come about?
Well, through the fact that I think the military government was quite close with the United States. And they had one or two on that coaching staff. And Claudio Coutinho, who went on to be the coach in 78, was a fluent English speaker, which was relatively rare at the time. And so the pieces of the jigsaw kind of fit. And the key game, and it's a game that I don't think in our country it's given the importance it really deserves. It's their second game. It's against England. Mm. They beat Czechoslovakia 4-1 in the first game, but they went behind and they really should have conceded a second. They looked a little bit vulnerable. England are the world champions, maybe better in 70 than they'd been in 66. And it's set up as... there is so much on this game, because from a Latin American point of view, that England side doesn't get much credit. You know, it was all at home and, you know, the Russian linesmen and all the rest of it, you know. And Brazil, are Brazil really back? It's a huge game, that one. And I've watched it many times. I think it's a magnificent game. And England could have won it. It's a great performance from an England side. Mm. Magnificent performance of retaining the ball and really caused Brazil problems and should have scored. But at the other end, Gordon Banks just has a good... It's not just that save from Pelé. Everything he does in the game, the decisions to tip it over, when to catch, everything is brilliant. But England are beaten 1-0. A fantastic goal, although Tostão, who set it up right at the start, he did tell me a few years ago that he should have been penalised for a foul on Bobby Moore. He sets up the goal, Brazil win 1-0, and so many of the Brazil team have told me that's when we won the World Cup, when we
really?
Beat England.
Because when you said the key game, I really thought you were going to talk about the semi-final against Uruguay because of what happened in 1950.
Yeah, and Zagallo, the coach, was just fed up with all of that. He kicked a journo out of the training camp when a journo kept on going on about 1950. Uruguay took the lead, a dreadful mistake from the Brazilian goalkeeper, who really wasn't very good at all. Brazil equalised on the stroke of half-time, and Zagallo spent the half-time interval saying words that I can't possibly repeat.
No.
that Uruguay were absolute rubbish. How dare you come in having drawn with that team? And Brazil win it in the second half. The final against Italy, and this is where the physical preparation came in. These matches are played midday in the fierce Mexican heat. Mm. Rivellino told me, it was the kind of left-sided midfielder, that he didn't once in the whole tournament go across to the side to drink water.
Really?
That's how physically well prepared they were. And in the first half, Italy, I think Italy just shaded it in terms of shots. But there's no way Italy are going to last the second half. Mm. And Brazil know this, bide their time, pull the strings. Gerson in midfield is a superb passer of the ball over range. Jairzinho on the right wing is like a force of nature. Mm. Pelé, it's not the best Pelé. Pelé was much better. He's bulkier. He's bulked up, but he knows it all. He's some of his passes, not looking, are magnificent. Tostão is clever as a centre forward. Not particularly quick. Doesn't offer that much of a threat to the goal, but he combines very well. So everything's coming together, and they just blow Italy apart in the second half. Would that Brazilian side have won in Europe? I'm not convinced. Really? I think their defence would have more questions asked of them. But they were a fantastic side who won every game and made so many of us fall in love with football. I mean, why did Glenn Hoddle go on to become such a great player? Because that set the bar for him. He was training thinking, that's what I've got to reach.
But that's it for another podcasty thing. And bearing in mind, we had no script. I think you'll agree, it's one of the okay ones we've done. Anyway, there will be normal service being resumed on the next podcast. It won't be me, it will be Adam Catchell, because I'm away for a couple of days, doing the English Open for Eurosport. There's a little plug there, I hope that stays in. If that does stay in, let me know. And if it doesn't, you won't be able to let me know because you won't be hearing these things I'm saying now. So let's hope it stays in. I'm looking at one more Billy, the producer. Billy, will it stay in?
Yes.
He says yes. Fingers crossed. Thanks so much for taking the time to download, as always. Have a great one. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.